When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Allo or Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret? With Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whatever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/try to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/try.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Coming up on this week's episode of Barb Knows Best, the podcast.
So what are we saying to ourselves that makes us so rigid, that makes us incapable of shifting our perspective, even the slightest little bit?
Hello, everyone. Hi, friends. Welcome back to Barb Knows Best, the podcast. It is me, Michelle, and I am sitting here again with my mom, Barb, and we're back for another conversation about life and all of the things. Hi, Mom.
Hi, Michelle.
How's it going?
It's going great.
You got your leg propped up nice, ready to chat?
I've got my leg propped up, but it's doing really, really well. I'm very pleased and grateful that it's healing so well. So
she's a medical marvel.
Well, I think I've really been careful.
You slowed down.
Yes.
Like our episode
last week. And if I didn't have you, I guess, if I was just trying to think of how to say it.
Me or the listeners?
You, Michelle, have been a great caretaker and you've helped me in the driving and stuff, but now I can drive. I don't have the brace. And it's actually really well. I think I'm going to start physical therapy next week. So thank you for asking.
We are so happy to hear it and love that for you.
Yeah, and it's very cool how I love this podcast and I love this whole platform because it's so cool how every week we are talking about things, for the most part, some things have, you know, it's from the past and we have a really cool couple episodes coming up in the future, but you know, there are things that talking about our lives and our past, but 90% of the time there are things that are happening in the moment. And I think as last week was about how, you know, when life makes you slow down and what does that mean and how you do that. And I thought that was a really fun, powerful episode that we recorded last week. And this week is similar. The idea of, you know, how do we shift our perspective sometimes because we're so locked in. I feel like what I notice and what this has been a really beautiful blessing, not that I would have asked to fracture my kneecap, but you know, how rigid we sometimes can be and how locked into our opinions and our ways of doing things and our, you know, obviously more than anything else that we talk about on this episodes, every single week is about the mind and the mind thoughts and how the mind dictates the way we live our lives. So I'm excited for today.
Yeah. You let the cat out of the bag.
I did. I'm excited, as always.
Yeah. I love it.
Because we're living it.
We're living it. It's really... Yeah, these past few episodes lately have really built off of each other quite nicely. And I think today talking about perspective and even just what it means to be flexible in the mind and not have a rigid viewpoint is something that you and I have talked about a lot my whole life. But it's a really prevalent topic, I think, for most of us right now, but in general.
Wow, that is brilliant. How to be flexible in the mind. That's fantastic, Michelle.
Thanks.
Just that little soundbite. How can we learn to be flexible in the mind without compromising our values, without compromising what it is that we need to take care of ourselves, but how can we walk that balance or walk that tightrope or live in that, you know, that gray area? You always talk about the gray area in life, not the black and white necessarily, one extreme or the other, but the gray area. How can we be flexible in the mind? I love that.
Well, it's interesting because when we were talking about this topic in our pre-show convo, I know I think I've written some blogs a long time ago. They might not even still be up because it was so long ago, about perspective. And it came to me because the blogs that I wrote in the past were stemmed from yoga, and it was like a change your perspective, change your life kind of message. And I had gotten that when I was really heavy in my yoga teacher training and teaching yoga, and how like there was the mindset, you know, you could in yoga go upside down, change your perspective, you know, forward fold, like you're looking at things differently. Like in the practice of changing your perspective, you can change a lot about your life. So yoga has a component of being flexible. So the flexibility of the mind then followed suit.
That's cool. It's always good to have some of those visuals. And I think too, what I love about our episode today and what you and I've talked about a lot and what shows up, I think what has shown up a lot in our lives, which it has over the years, obviously, is this idea of being flexible in the mind, as you said, and flexibility in general of how we live our lives. But being, it's kind of that thing that I always say, being firm in your values and what matters most in your life and what you want to do, and being firm and being serious. I think one of my famous quotes, being serious.
You said this to me yesterday.
Yeah. Being serious about the life you want to live, but not taking yourself so seriously. And so what that translated for me, and I think in our conversation and in our lives, even with my, you know, my injury here, is stubbornness.
Well, stubbornness and just what it means to be rigid.
Yeah.
In life.
Yeah.
And I don't know if we've necessarily talked about that on the show, but being rigid is something that you've talked about to me for a lot of my life as well. And especially you've talked about this in many of your workshops and classes that you've given over my entire life, of rigidity in the mind and rigidity in our lives and how that leads to more suffering. When we view things through such a small,
narrow
lens, and are unwilling to budge on things, and like you said, not with what we value, but just, you know, thinking about the gray with our practices, if we're super rigid with our practice, I think sometimes it can also not harm us, but add to our suffering. And that does trickle down into just how we view life. I think when we think about perspective and worldview, it's funny because I'm in the process of editing my book right now, and I just edited an entry of the book that deals with this. So I feel like I'm repeating myself. If it sounds like I'm confused, it's because I'm confused in my mind, because I'm like, did I just say this? But it's no, I just wrote it in my book and not on the podcast. But when we think about our worldview, yes, we all have unique circumstances and traits and qualities and family structures and values and societal norms and all of that, that can lead us to being pretty rigid with our views. But I think incorporating that flexibility of the mind and being open to a change in perspective and being open to something different really can start to alleviate some of the unnecessary suffering that sometimes we can place back on ourselves.
I love that, Michelle. I love where this whole conversation is going, because when I was studying all of the saints and the mystics and all the great traditions and religions of the world for like a decade or so, one of the things that I really discovered in all of the teachings of all the great teachers and masters is that we are basically 90% alike.
Yeah.
We're really all alike, especially in our makeup of, you know, how in our bodily forms in terms of how we came to be and all the things. We're so much alike in so many ways. But unfortunately in life, we tend to place our attention on what is different about each of us. And sometimes that difference, that little 10% or whatever it is, it can be higher or lower. I mean, don't hold me to that statistic. But most of the people that have been studying, you know, psychology and just human beings, yeah. We're pretty much alike in so many ways. So when we put the attention on what we're not alike, it makes us a little bit more rigid, or it makes us more judgmental. Rigid. What did I say?
It sounded like you said widget.
No, rigid. It makes us more rigid, or it makes us more competitive, or it makes us more, you know, comparison and judgmental and all of those things, which none of that is bad. Nothing we ever talk about necessarily is bad. It just, and as you said, Michelle, it adds to our suffering and it inhibits us in being able to live a more fulfilled, more successful, more, resilient, compassionate, loving life that we all really want to live in our lives, and a happier life for sure.
Mm-hmm.
You know, studies have been done about that for sure. If when you ask people what is their number one thing, they want to be happy, and whatever that means to each individual person is the thing. So I'm excited about talking about the idea of being less rigid in our thoughts and less stubborn.
Well, when you said stubborn a little bit ago,
that's why I keep saying it.
I know. That word triggered.
I'm not surprised.
Okay. You guys all know we're both Scorpios. I grew up in a Scorpio only household, which is insane, actually. And the trait of being stubborn was tossed around quite frequently amongst us all as a, as not a dig, but you know, we often would call each other out about our stubbornness, knowing that it's a Scorpio trait and that it's a part of us. But yeah, stubborn. I felt the sting when you said it.
Well, I think, you know, as I look back on my 40 years of practice, it's interesting how I started to learn how rigid my mind was.
Yeah.
And how stubborn that I could be, and how locked into my view and my opinion and my things without really thinking about what do I value. It's kind of interesting how sometimes in life we can go to being stubborn about our thoughts or our views on things. And then when we actually start to think, what do I value most? What is most important to me in my life? What is most important to me in relationships? Because obviously relationships are all about compromise, give and take. You know, we're not really marrying, or we're not really friends, or we're not really brothers or sisters, or we're not really mothers and fathers, or daughters or sons, or any of those labels that we put on people that are exactly like us. Never do we really come across someone who is exactly like us, because we are all, as you say a lot, Michelle, in your writings, we are all unique,
yep,
beautiful human beings. So the thought that we can be so rigid and not expect another person, you know, to expect another person to be like us, or not expect each of us to have to compromise in some fashion is not possible. And that leads to actually more suffering. And I think aloneness. I mean, we thrive to belong and we want to be with people, but we want to also make sure that we are valuing and accepting and loving and respecting ourselves completely. So how does that work? And yeah, in my mind, it works in thinking about the brain and thinking about the mind and how rigid are we and what do we really value and what are our non-negotiables, which we've talked about in the show before with boundaries. But today, mm-hmm, really talking about the mindset, really looking at our mindset, and are we rigid?
Mm-hmm.
Can we learn to shift our perspective, not just in being stubborn or not just in the major things in life, but also how can we shift our perspective with things that I noticed in myself over the years, like being a perfectionist?
Yeah.
How can I shift my perspective in that? Because that did not serve me. In some ways, it did serve me, because I really gave it my all and wanted to do my best, and I learned how to be my best self. But in other ways, it didn't serve me. It made me a procrastinator in many ways. It made me not getting things done sometimes for a very long time.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just interesting, how can we look at the rigidity or the idea that we have to do things a certain way no matter what, and how that is affecting our lives in terms of suffering more, in terms of not getting where we want to go, in terms of our relationships, in terms of life in general. Is that really necessary, and is that serving us, or can we actually shift our perspective? Is there a way to actually, wait a minute, this is not serving me. I can still keep my values. What could I do differently? How could I see this differently?
Well, it seems like shifting your perspective is really all about breaking down the belief systems that we all hold on in our minds that are leading us to believe and view life through that perspective. You know, I think when you were talking about your perfectionism, I think the belief system that lives underneath that is that you have to be perfect in order to be loved and seen and belong and, you know, given your history and understood, and to be successful and to be worthy, to not be abandoned in life. Like, I think, you know, more or less that's what lives underneath your perfectionism. And so how do you break that down to where that's not true? I can be loved and seen and understood and valued in society without being perfect, because being perfect isn't real. None of us can live life perfectly without mistake or without anything like that. And so from that work of breaking down those beliefs, then we can start to shift the perspective of, okay, maybe I don't have to actually seek to be this way or be perceived this way. And so I think really the shifting of our perspectives and our worldviews, the work is really understanding what we believe and what we tell ourselves as true every single day.
For sure, Michelle. And I think too, that idea that our work, my study for 40 years didn't start off in the research brain part of life, let's so to speak. It started off in the deeper spiritual inner work. But as I've gotten more and more into the inner work of my life and got more and more fascinated in the work and the people that I came across and the things that I was doing in university, especially in university, doing so much that the work that we've done in university and med school and nursing college and high school students and all of the things that we've done, it's really opened my brain and my mind up to research. And it was really, really, really fascinating for me to come across different research studies, you know, like the Pareto principle, the idea that there's three strategic mind shifts that we can do for changing perspective, for helping us, you know, get better results, to get things done, to not suffer so much. So I am loving the fact that you and I, Michelle, in our work have factored in what is research showing when they've interviewed, you know, many, many people and things like that. So I think it helps. It helps. For me, it's helped open the door for the past probably 20 years, 40 years I've been doing this, 20 years. We've been working with universities and med schools and things like that. It's helped open the door to, well, there also is other ways. There's other viewpoints. There's other ways to get to the goal maybe that all of us might want, whatever that individual goal is, but there are a lot of paths to get there. There's not just one way to do things. And I think that's what this episode is all about today. There isn't just one way to get to where it is we want to go. Sure, we have to have structure. Sure, we have to have values. Sure, we have to have the things in place to get there. We have to have our little baby steps that we have to take along the way. But we're going to, you know, life isn't just one straight line. So there's always going to be detours, and the path's going to be a winding path. And so to have that kind of knowing what our life's mission or goal or why we came here and the things that we want to do and accomplish, but also knowing that to stay a little bit open and have the door cracked open a little bit to other ideas and other things that may come into play that may be like, oh, wow, I never thought of that way. That really makes sense. That really helps me unlock a block that I'm having right now. And I think this idea of this Pareto principle that I learned a long time ago helped shift me away from my perfectionism and maybe a little bit of my stubbornness.
So can you tell us what the Pareto principle is?
Yes. It's the idea, it's way, way back into, I don't know how many, like a long, long time ago, like I want to say in the early 1900s, it actually was devised, but then a lot of the big universities have been doing research on it. So there's no one, I don't think that I can really cite one place that did the only research on this, because the gentleman's name was Pareto. But basically it's this, the idea that 20% of the things that you do produce 80% of your results. So focus on the key moves that need to be made. So I think as a perfectionist, I'm kind of looking at everything. Okay, what do I need? I need to do this perfect. I need to do this perfect. Or things need to be this way. So my perspective was very narrow sometimes. Mm-hmm. And the idea that, wow, 20% of the things that I actually produce are 80% of the results. It kind of made it more manageable for me. I don't need to be all over the place. Mm-hmm. Or I don't need to be making sure I'm doing this and this and this and this and this. Because I think as humans, we can get distracted easily. And then we don't understand why are things not going the way that we want them to go? It's because maybe we're a little distracted on something that's not actually going to take us where we want to go. So just a shift in perspective there of, okay, wait a minute, what is important to me? And I think in this talk today, we are going to go back a lot to what matters most. What is the thing that is most important to us? And can we put our efforts in that and be a little bit more loose in the things that aren't compromising our values and the things that matter most to us? So that idea that strategic, or being a little bit less rigid, but being a little bit more focused. So what I notice in myself, when I am more stubborn or when I am more rigid, I am less focused. I am more, it's my way or the highway kind of thing, or I'm not going to budge, but I'm not really focused on what is the most important thing here. I'm more focused on being right.
I was going to say.
I'm more focused on having my way, or I'm more focused on, damn it, I'm right and that's it. And you're not going to change my mind, because maybe that's an old paradigm thing that, or an old behavior, or one of those old things that we need to shift from generations ago that was handed down from many, many people. This is the way it is. This is the way I do it. This is what happens. This is how I feel, without even questioning it. Mm-hmm. So it's very interesting to me to think about that strategic is better than busy, or the idea that 80% of the results that I'm looking for come from only 20% of the things that I do. So if I can stay fully focused on that 20% of the things that I'm doing and not worry about the rest, or not be so rigid about the rest of the things that might be happening around me, I may have a better result.
Is that also kind of where having a practice comes into play? Like doing the things, the non-negotiables, or the practices that center you or connect you or help you manage stress and all of those things. That's part of that 20%.
Oh, for sure. For sure. Yes, yes,
like
yes.
It's maybe not a huge part of your day, but it's very impactful on your day.
Yes. And I think that's where I meant that some of the things that we're so rigid about are things from the past, or experiences from the past that we're still maybe hanging on to, or that we still haven't worked through, that we think are the way it is, or the way it has to be, or what's happening for us now in the future, I mean, in the present, that are going to affect our future. And I think it goes hand in hand with that next thing about the Pareto principle, is done is better than perfect, which really took me forever to think about that. Because in my mind, perfection and done went together. Like there was no separation for that. And that's the rigidity you're talking about so much, about shifting perspective about the thoughts in the mind. I really had a block. For me, perfection and done went together. You couldn't get to done without being perfect.
That's so funny, because in talking about perspective, when I think about that, it's not done and perfect. It can't be done if you're trying to be perfect. No wonder we would struggle with work, with your perspective and my perspective, which is why you have to shift your perspective.
For sure. That's why we're doing this episode, because you and I go, we lock horns sometimes. And I think the fact that we're aware is what saves us. I'm aware that I'm a perfectionist. You're aware that you're not. I'm aware that I can be rigid. I'm aware that we both can be stubborn. So that's why we say every single episode, awareness is key, because that keeps us from getting into situations where we can't move forward. But we always get to a place where we move forward. Mm-hmm. I can't think of any time that we haven't been able to eventually get to a place where we move forward. And isn't that what we're all trying to do in our lives? You know, we can't judge it. We can't have criticism about it. We can't have comparisons about it because we don't know. But and sometimes it can take a week. Sometimes it can take a month. But the idea that we always get there because we're able to start to shift our perspective in any particular situation without, I'm going to say this probably the whole show, without compromising our values. And so what really got me to understand this more than anything else, and we may need to look it up because I forgot to write down the name of the book. Maybe you could look it up, but and we can put it in the show notes, but that I truly understand, as I just said, that perfectionism leads to procrastination, mm-hmm. which if you think about that, it kills the productivity. If mm-hmm. it goes without saying, but it's so profound for me to actually witness it and see it and understand it and become aware of it. And I was reading Kate Fagan. If any of you know Kate Fagan, she is a ESPN host. She's a sporty girl. She's a mm-hmm. sport girl.
Just like you.
And she wrote, I can't remember her book. You'll have to look it up, Michelle, and we'll put it in the show notes. But in the book, she says this profound quote, "Notice how close perfection is to despair." And I actually have a little bit of tears in my eyes about that because—
What Made Maddie Run?
What Made Maddie Run is the name of the book. And I think what got me so much about that is what we just talked about a little bit earlier, what you said, Michelle. When we are trying to be perfectionists, when we can't shift our perspective, even the slightest little bit, we're only talking about baby steps. We're always only talking about baby steps. When we can't shift our perspective at all, we are suffering. We truly are suffering. And so when she wrote this, it's despair. I have felt despair quite often in my life. And so that thought that I don't have to be perfect, I can just do the best that I can. The best that I'm able. I've been using that lately. I think I was talking to you about that recently. The best I'm able seems so gentle to me. I'm lately, I guess, because of my injury, been in a very gentle mode. I'm mm-hmm. very gentle with my body. I'm gentle with my movements lately in the idea of slowing down. So it's been very profound for me. So I'm doing the best that I'm able. And so that idea that perfectionism can lead to despair and or suffering is so true for me. I've certainly experienced that. So how can we just start to little by little shift our perspective?
I am all about finding new tips, tools, practices, data to help me live my healthiest life, which is why I'm so excited to have found Lumen. Lumen is the world's first handheld metabolic coach. It's a device that measures your metabolism through your breath. And on the app, it lets you know if you're burning fat or carbs and gives you tailored guidance to improve your nutrition, workouts, sleep, and even stress management. All you have to do is breathe into your Lumen first thing in the morning and you'll know what's going on with your metabolism, whether you're burning mostly fats or carbs. And then Lumen gives you a personalized nutrition plan for that day based on your measurements. Your metabolism is your body's engine. It's how your body turns the food you eat into the fuel that keeps you going. Because your metabolism is at the center of everything your body does, optimal metabolic health translates to a bunch of benefits, including easier weight management, improved energy levels, better fitness results, better sleep, and so much more. Lumen gives you recommendations to improve your metabolic health. It can also track your cycle as well as the onset of menopause, and adjust your recommendations to keep your metabolism healthy through hormonal shifts so you can keep up your energy and stave off cravings. So if you want to take the next step in improving your health, go to lumen.me/barbknowsbest to get 15% off your Lumen. That's lumen.me/barbknowsbest for 15% off your purchase. Thank you, Lumen, for sponsoring this episode. With the changing of the seasons upon us, I know just how challenging it can feel to transition from the summer to fall fashion. But Armoire makes getting dressed easy. With a clothing rental membership from Armoire, you can build the perfect wardrobe with brands that are high quality, unique, and recommended just for you. All you have to do is take a 5-minute style quiz and select items from your dynamic, personalized closet. The styles show up at your door in as little as 2 days. And then when you're ready for new clothes, just swap them out and add more new-to-you styles. I've been loving trying out Armoire lately. It's been a game changer for me to be able to
mix and match, change things up, and keep in mind my sustainability efforts because I'm not constantly purchasing new clothes that just pile up in my closet, creating clutter and unnecessary expense and waste. There are so many benefits to having an Armoire membership. You can always have something new to wear without the hassle and closet clutter. You no longer have to feel bad about only wearing an outfit once. Armoire is a woman-founded and woman-led company, which is so important to us. And Armoire can help you actually define your own personal style. So what are you waiting for? Try Armoire today, because right now our listeners can give Armoire a try and get up to 50% off their first month. That's up to $125 off. Just visit armoire.style/barbknowsbest. That's armoire.style, A-R-M-O-I-R-E, .style/barbknowsbest to get up to 50% off your first month. And never worry about what to wear again. Try Armoire today. This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. If you've listened to the show, you've heard my mom and I talk about how much therapy has impacted both of our lives. We've basically been in therapy for our entire lives, but we also know how difficult it can be and feel to actually get therapy into our lives, whether it's a busy schedule or not knowing where to go or who to trust or just the financial component and commitment therapy actually is. We know it's challenging just to get started. But we also want to reiterate how beneficial therapy can be, whether working through our issues or really understanding who we are and what we want in life. As I've said, therapy is a game changer. And so if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you need to do is fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Never skip a therapy day with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/barbknowsbest today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/barbknowsbest.
I love that.
Yeah.
So how can we?
Well, I think the idea, there's a brainiac that we follow on social media, Jim Quick. If you haven't followed him, he's really—
we'll link it into the show notes.
Yeah, he's really
well.
A brain genius. And he said the brain is like a supercomputer and your self-talk is the program that it will run.
Yeah.
And that's it. So we have to actually start eavesdropping a little bit. I like to call it that. And I used this in a workshop recently. Eavesdropping on how we talk to ourselves. What are we saying to ourselves that makes us so rigid, that makes us incapable of shifting our perspective, even the slightest little bit that makes us so rigid? So every time we catch ourselves criticizing ourselves, judging other people, judging ourselves, being negative, it has to be this way. I can't possibly look at it any other way. It's like, for me now, that is a huge red flag. Wait a minute. And if it is something that is about my values, I'm able to take a deep breath and let the other person know or incorporate that into my work. Wait a minute. This is a non-negotiable value here. I'm going to need to work around this. I'm going to need to make sure that I don't compromise here. But the other 80%, remember, 20% is what leads us to getting things done, basically. The other 80% is negotiable, is something that I need to work with and something that I need to not be so rigid about. And it always starts with the thoughts in the mind.
Right.
And we already know that we have negative thoughts, and 95% of the thoughts that we think 70,000 thoughts a day, which we've talked about so many times, and 85% of those are negative, which is a mind-blowing statistic that research has shown.
Mm-hmm.
And more than half or even most of those thoughts are repetitive. So we ask ourselves, it's really about being aware and asking ourselves in this rigidity or this perspective that we're in that is not serving us and that is actually causing us suffering and actually causing us not being able to move forward in life. How many of those negative thoughts that we're thinking over and over and over are useful or helpful?
Probably none, or maybe one.
Very few. Yeah. And I think that's the whole idea. It's mostly just to even stop, you know, that idea that we take the pause and ask ourselves, just stopping and saying, wait a minute, I'm really being rigid right here. Is this necessary?
Well, even when you think about rigidity as far as our perspective or our thinking or our worldview, not even to the sense of like what you were saying with the negativity of it, but just think about how much it closes you off to so much in life. I think there's countless viewpoints and opportunities and perspectives in our world. And when we hone in or key in on one and close ourselves off to everything else, we're really limiting our life experience. And it often makes me think about that story that you tell all the time when you were in treatment with your therapist. Do you want to tell it or?
Yeah.
Or do you want me to tell it? I think we actually have told it on the show, but since it's your story, if you want to say it.
Well, I was a very, very complicated, traumatized, bulimic, sexual abuse survivor. I mean, at all the things. And so when I went into treatment for my bulimia, and then when I first saw a therapist for the first time at 28 years old, I'm not sure she knew what to make of me, but she was so like the kindest, most amazing therapist I could have ever imagined as a 28-year-old going through all the things that I was going through. And I think she realized early on that I was very rigid in my thinking. Oh my gosh, I was such a perfectionist. I had all these thoughts that I was the problem. I had all this trauma. And so she just simply said to me one day during therapy, now this wasn't in the first day of therapy. I was 6 weeks into treatment. So this was probably second or third week. She said, "Barb, let's for a moment, let's just kind of zoom out and see the bigger picture. Let's see the larger picture. And let's just kind of look at this. Just go with me." I remember her saying that. "Just go with me for a minute." She was so sweet. "Just go with me for a minute. You come in here time after time after time talking about like, this is the only thing that you can do. Like you really don't have any options. You have doing nothing and you have this." Mm-hmm. Like there was no other option. There was either do nothing or do this. There was nothing in between. And she said, "Let's zoom out a little bit. And you," she said, "you think you have only like option A or option B." She said, "but what if you had a whole alphabet of options? What if you had at least 26 options in front of you?" So just think about that for a moment. She had
A through Z.
A through Z, exactly. And she said, "you think it's only this or that, but what if you," and I remember sitting there thinking, that doesn't seem possible, but she walked me through it. And she said, you think that you have so few choices because you actually only think you have two, nothing or one. And she said, "can you just sit for a minute and just feel how hopeless that makes you feel? How impossible that makes you feel? How doomed from the start that makes you feel?" And she said, you feel like you have no choices, you have no options, and you actually are closing yourself off to all of the possibilities that life may have for you. And now I'm not going to say that in that moment I was transformed into this person that thought I had 26 options every time I walk around, but it cracked the door open. She had, this is what with the beauty of what she did for me, it gave me the thought. It stopped for a moment. She said, just please go with me. And so I think in our episodes, in our show here, we're just saying, just go with us for a moment and just crack the door open to move from being so narrowly focused on what you think and what you're sure life is, and just crack the door open a little bit, because the hopelessness that I was feeling all the time got even worse when the times were really hard.
Mm-hmm.
And so it just made it worse and made it worse and made it worse and made it worse. So she ended that whole thing by saying, "just do me a favor, Barbara, try to stay curious. Don't even have to believe, don't even have to trust, don't even have to acknowledge." She was so gracious. If you would just keep that door cracked open a little bit and kind of stay curious about all the possibilities that could be there in your life, you will start to see baby shifts in your perspective. And you'll start to see that you'll see some of those things will come to your vantage point, come to your view, where you'll stop being so narrow. And you'll start seeing how they can actually be a respite. They can actually be of help. They actually give you, I can breathe here. Wait a minute. What could another possibility look like? And then you always talk, Michelle, about the macro and the micro of life, which has helped a lot. That idea that if we have that only rigid idea, which I did, I had no other gear but stop or nothing. I mean, stop or this, nothing or this. And you always say there's always that macro and micro of life and asking yourself in the grand scheme of thing, what matters most? So that always, that opened the door even more for me.
I think you told that story so beautifully. And there were parts of it that I don't think I had ever heard before. But what really struck me as you were talking was when she said how much despair, I think might have been the word, but of keeping yourself so rigid between one thing or the other, this or nothing. And I think that that can speak to any of us, because I think, you know, if you go back to when we were kids, maybe when we were asked to imagine, you know, what we wanted to be when we were bigger, or what we wanted our lives to look like when we were adults, or what our ideals were, I think that's where we can start to become so rigid with what our paths will look like. And, you know, we talk a lot in the show of trusting your timing and trust your timeline, because sometimes things don't unfold in the way that we've imagined them to, you know, from childhood. And when we double down on our disappointment that things aren't what we want them to be, and think that there's something wrong with us because we're not fitting into a box of A or B, it does really add to our suffering. And it is such a relief to start to open yourself up to the other possibilities of life. Like, you don't have to, your life doesn't have to look like that, you know, perfectly ticked box life that you maybe thought you were going to have as a child. Or maybe, you know, you always thought you were going to be a doctor, but as you went through school, you realized you really liked the arts and wanted to be more creative. Like, how can you start to just lean into, and I think even we've talked about this on the show, I know I've written about it, what my life coach said years and years ago when I was really confused about what to do in my life, just follow the breadcrumbs of your life. Like, oh, this is interesting to me. I never would have thought I would have been someone who was interested in dancing, because I've always been more sciencey, but I'm going to lean into it because it's appealing to me right now. Or, you know, anything like that. It's those tiny, like you said, Mom, curiosities of, wow, that's piquing my interest right now. And I don't really know why, and I'm not going to judge it, but I'm going to lean into it and see where it takes me. That's really, it's that practice, like with everything else that we can incorporate into our day, that starts to open ourselves up to different thought processes and different perspectives about life and our lives, and more importantly.
I love that, Michelle. That's so beautifully said as well. And I think, I mean, I know, not that I think, I know, you know, if you've endured a lot of trauma and all of the things, or addiction or any of the things, it changes things. It changes you. And so it's not easy to crack that door open and be a little bit curious and not be safe. And so safety for me was do nothing or do this. Like, I was too scared probably most of the time to actually look at what could I be curious about. And that's why she was so gentle. So I just want to say, it matters that you have another person maybe that you can have a conversation about this, so that you can start to, you know, play off of someone that you trust and love completely, that won't abandon you or hurt you in any way, so you can have some little bit of safety. But I also want to say, you can start doing this yourself, little teeny by teeny by teeny steps, because shifting your perspective from it has to be all or nothing, or it has to be this way or no way, or you have to be very rigid to stay safe or to stay protected, doesn't mean that everything is fine.
Right.
Doesn't mean that everything is okay. So we're not looking at cracking the door open and being a little curious by all of a sudden say, oh, it's all fine. You know, yeah. I just got to step in and be fine. Everybody else in the world is fine, but I'm the one that's not. It doesn't mean that at all. And that was what was so beautiful about how this therapist was with me. She's like, just a little bit, crack the door a little bit and just see how it feels. Step your toe in the door, or stick your toe in the water. Don't just jump in and start swimming.
Right.
So I think it doesn't mean that everything is fine. It doesn't mean that you have to even take the first step right away. Just crack the door a little bit and try it on for size. And it just means little by tiny little, being open to the possibilities of what could come next in your life.
Right.
What could change? What could actually shift to help you see the more positive things that might be happening in your life than the negative? I think for me, I focus so much on the negative. I wasn't even able to see the positive. You know, many of you probably heard this, that therapists have said this forever. If you've got a family of several siblings, none of them have the same family story.
Right.
And it shocks me. I'm the oldest of five. And even my sister, who's 2 years younger than I, when we used to have conversations after I got our treatment, and even now today, we have such a different view of how our lives are. And she's like shocked that my life view was this way. And I'm kind of shocked that her was, but then my brothers were so much younger than I am. We don't even relate to each other in many ways. So it's really powerful. So we all have our own perspective of how we were raised or how we internalized our childhoods and how we internalize the way we live through life right now. So it's really incredibly important to be, give ourselves grace and honor ourselves in where we are in the moment, not try to be perfect and not try to make it right and not try to think I'm right and you're wrong or not all those things and not get caught up in the thoughts in the mind that are trying to make sense of everything. Because these are feeling, this is a feeling thing. These are, for me, it was a traumatic body thing. So it was important for me to stay focused on me and how I was feeling and what was happening. Because as I took a tiny step here and a tiny step there and starting to shift my perspective and starting to focus on when my sister would say, Barb, but do you remember this fun thing? As I little by little was doing the inner work that I needed to do, I would say, you know what? I kind of do, but it didn't actually turn out the fun the way you describe it, but I kind of get what you're saying. I was a little bit more open instead of, no, nothing was fun in my childhood. You know, having that very rigid view. Oh, are you kidding? I had nothing fun in my childhood. And that's just not true. I mean, it certainly it was not very fun, but there were some things in
there. It wasn't black or white.
It wasn't black and white. And life rarely is black and white. So I think how can we start to redefine and shift our perspective on the difficult concepts in life or the difficult things that we've endured in life and just being all the while being gentle with ourselves, but being curious and open because we want to get to where it is we're trying to go. I think that's the whole point. I want to be the best version of who I am. I want to get to the things that I want to do in my life as to why I came here in the first place, why I was born.
Right.
You know, I wasn't born to suffer my whole life. I wasn't born to think only negative things
happen. Or to add to your suffering.
Or to add to my suffering. So, you know, I have a beautiful daughter. You know, I've come through this divorce, which I promise you, I will talk about that soon.
Yeah.
And it's just, you know, life is difficult and we have a lot of hardships in life and shifting our perspective just the tiniest little bit can add a great deal of knowledge and a kind of a redefinition to what we view our life's path to look like.
Totally. And it's almost like starting to take an inventory or even seek to become more aware of the worldviews or the personal beliefs that we've been telling ourselves for our whole lives that are adding to our suffering or that are adding to our anxiety or turmoil or fueling us to participate in perfectionism or habits that aren't as healthy and kind of drilling down into ourselves to find those little beliefs and kind of pull them out at the roots. Because I think we all do hold kind of irrational beliefs about our lives
that and are especially about ourselves.
Yeah. And that are unique to us. And a lot of times it adds to our suffering. As you were talking, I remembered I had a really close friend who believed deeply that she had to be married by 30. Like that was not even a belief. It just was, it had to be. And she was getting close to that age and she was seeing someone, but it was making her crazy that she wasn't engaged. And, you know, she saw the 30 in the near future, and it was providing her so much turmoil in her, in herself and in her life. And everything was like, outside of that belief, her life was good. But because she was so rigid on, and I don't know where she picked it up, I don't know where that seed was planted in her, it was causing her turmoil. It was causing her to lash out at people and just create a lot of excess drama because of this rule that she had written for herself at some point in her life. And it's, I think we all have those. And where can we start to identify them? Like, wait, who said I had to be married by 30? And why? And what does that mean? And what is the importance to that? What does that say about my life if I'm married by 30? And what does it say about my life if I'm not? It's like really starting to identify these rules that we've written for ourselves and talk back to them. Like, is this even true? Does this even really align with anything that I think? And picking it apart to start to open yourself up to, okay, maybe I get married at 31, or maybe I don't get married at all. Like, it's exactly that. You don't have A or B, you have A to Z, because that specific rigid thought process was running her ragged when there's an infinite amount of other outcomes that could have happened in her life. And I'm not calling that person out, but I think a lot of us hold on to rigid views about relationships and timelines. I mean, I've had them as well. So it's like, what are the rigid views that we're holding on to? And maybe even subconsciously. I know a lot with relationships and, you know, the societal timeline of our lives of getting married and having kids and buying houses is kind of sometimes ingrained in us without us even really realizing that we're holding on to that mindset. So really starting to become more aware of what's running in your mind
every
day.
Exactly, Michelle. And I think the best place to start, if you're going to start it, how can I shift my perspective a little bit in life? It's actually to start with ourselves. And that was really what my therapist was trying to tell me in the end. Like when we got into the third and the fourth week of treatment, she was saying, you know, let's start to shift your perspective of how you feel about yourself. And it goes right in alignment, Michelle, with what you're talking about, being so rigid. I have to be married at 30, or I have to do this, or I have to do that. I'm not okay if I don't do this. I'm not worthy if I don't do this. I'm not good enough if I don't do this. It's very interesting. So she that was where we went for the last few weeks of my treatment, this idea. So if we could actually just start to accept ourselves as good enough or perfect, but good enough just where we are right now in this moment in time. Mm-hmm. And then being curious and open to what could the possibilities be for the next step and the next step and the next step. But if we're always trying to fix ourselves, I got to fix myself first before this. I got to do this before this because I'm not good enough before this. I'm not pretty enough before this. I've got to do this first so that I can be the way that I'm supposed to be before I do this. It's always like, we're not good enough already to just start where we are. We don't accept ourselves. I like to think of life as a come as you are party now.
Hmm.
Like,
even just listening to you say that was exhausting.
Yeah. Like come as you are right now, accept yourself exactly. You are exactly where you're supposed to be right now in life. You're exactly how you're supposed to be right now in life because this is how it is. Yeah. This is the truth of it. And the truth of it is what you're telling yourself in your mind is not true. The truth is you're exactly where you're supposed to be. You are enough. You are perfect in this moment, exactly the way you're supposed to be. You don't need to fix yourself before you start engaging your life fully and start opening up to the possibilities that may be lying ahead. And I think that's the problem. We get so stuck on fixing ourselves first, and then we're going to be open and receptive to whatever life has. So I would like to just say for everyone listening, the change in perspective could just be try a different way of thinking about how you're thinking about yourself. Mm-hmm. Try a different way. Say, wait, what if I just, for this moment in time, was actually loving myself for this moment or accepting myself or trusting myself? regardless of what it is that you want to change in your life. Yes, you've got those things you want to do. You've got those things you want to change. You've got those things you want to accomplish. But just for maybe a brief moment in time, every single day, just get curious and just say, you know what? I really love myself right now. Go to a bathroom mirror and just say, I love you. I accept you just the way you are. Just start to crack that door open of changing your perspective of how you feel about you.
I think that's really important, especially in the context of listeners listening to our show. Anyone who's in the personal development space, because I think it's so easy to get caught up in the mindset of, I have to heal myself and fix myself before X, Y, or Z, or before I can find my dream job or have my dream relationship or any goal that we have in life. I've gotten caught up in that mindset a lot where, you know, you have difficult experiences in life. I had a really difficult breakup and it was almost like, okay, I have to go fix myself before I can be in another relationship again. And that black and white mindset is damaging because it closes you off from anything in between. And there is no healed or perfect or fixed. You know, it's always that journey of chipping away to get there, but it's not a destination that I think we're going to arrive at in life. And so the more that we put ourselves off from actually experiencing the good in life because we don't think we're good enough or healed enough or fixed enough or perfect enough, like we're really robbing ourselves of a lot of joy and happiness on the journey.
Oh my gosh, Michelle, that's so beautifully said. And I do also think this idea, it took me a long time because, you know, she was a very smart therapist and she knew where she had to actually go with this was what I thought about myself, exactly what you're saying.
Yeah.
And it took me a long time to get to this place of, but I trusted her and I wanted it so badly. This idea that we are good enough right now. And the idea, if you shift your perspective onto the positive, I'm good enough right now. What happened for me, and I think what happens for all of us, if we actually believe, I like this idea that if you believe it, you then eventually will see it. It's not the other way around. Let me see it first, then I'll believe it. Mm-hmm. Let's just trust and have faith and believe that if I love myself right now in this moment, I'm going to want to be curious. I'm going to want to open that door a little bit. I'm going to want to do more things. It's a negative that drags us down. It's not thinking that we're not good enough that drags us down and makes us not want to do more or not want to crack open the door a little bit more and be a little bit more curious. So I do believe that a positive leads on a positive leads on a positive. So just to start off with this like clean slate or this notion, just to believe it and you will see it. I am good enough right now. I don't need to fix myself. I'm good enough right now. Takes the pressure off of needing to fix myself first before I actually live my life.
Yeah.
And it really does work, but it is work. I know in AA, they say you have to work it. You have to work it. You have to work. You have to do the work. You have to do the work. It just doesn't happen. But I think what just does happen is when you shift into a perspective of this is the truth and what is being said in my mind from all of my trauma and all of the things that I've been through in my life is not true. It's a learned thing. And so I want to more be in alignment with what is actually true. And the truth is I am good enough right now. I am good enough right now. And you'll start to say, okay, I'm good enough right now. Okay, now I've got the energy and I've got the light inside of me that's saying, okay, now then what could I actually do with this now that I know that I'm good enough right now?
Mm-hmm.
And not being in a rush, being patient with yourself, because it took me a long time to believe it, but I actually did see it.
Yeah.
You know, that I am good enough. And this whole thing, I think for me, I think we're probably coming to the end mm-hmm. of our session, but
therapy talk.
I feel like I'm in therapy right now, just talking to myself. And that's how you're going to feel, I think, as you start to shift your perspective a little bit that you are good enough. You start to feel like you're your own therapist, you're your own best friend, as you always say, Michelle. We become our own best friend. I'm going to share a story with you that was told to me a long time ago. And it's just a good example to illustrate this idea of we never know. And if we're so rigid in one perspective and thinking it's got to be this way, and if we're not just the slightest bit open, it can cause us, as you were saying, Michelle, the suffering. So I'll share this story because life is complex. I do want to acknowledge that. This is not an easy fix. This is not a...
Of course.
Okay, here we go. We're sharing this with you. Let's go. Life is complex. Good things happen, bad things happen. And this story really brought it to life to me. So it's the story, there once was a poor farmer whose horse escaped one morning. His neighbor heard and said, "We are so sorry to hear your horse ran away. This is a terrible misfortune." The farmer replied, "Maybe." The next day, his horse returned, bringing 7 horses with him. His neighbor said, "Oh, wow, you are so lucky." The farmer simply replied, "Maybe." The next day, the farmer's only son broke his leg trying to tame one of the wild horses. His neighbor said, "Your only son, you have no one to help you with the farm work now. This is terrible. I bet by now you all know what the farmer replied." "Maybe." The next day, officers came to the village to conscript all of the young men into the army. They rejected the farmer's son because he had a broken leg. The neighbor said, "What a wonderful stroke of luck." The farmer replied, "Maybe." And that just got me a little emotional just reading that, because we never know, and we all know this, but to actually embody it from the heart, from the inside out, knowing we never know what life is going to send us in any given moment of any day. So life is complex. Good things happen. Bad things happen. We never really know what tomorrow or any given moment can bring. So if we can be naturally optimistic, or if we can stay curious about any given moment, accepting what comes, but also accepting what doesn't come our way, it keeps us, I believe for me, what I can say the most is it keeps me from suffering more. We're going to suffer. We're going to be happy and we're going to suffer. It keeps me from suffering more. I'm not compounding on the suffering by calling everything bad or good or wanting my own way. I've been able to shift my perspective in a way to be more optimistic than to be more pessimistic, and to have more faith that everything that comes my way, I will have the resilience, I will have the confidence, I will have whatever I need without being on a timeline. And as you say, Michelle, so often trusting the timing of my life to weather any storm that life sends my way, because as the great, beautiful Maya Angelou says, every storm runs out of rain.
I love that, Mom.
So thank you all very much.
Thanks for that story. That's a great visual to leave on. And just if you're resonating with this, you know, one small thing you can do today is start to ask yourself or notice within yourself, where are you a little rigid? You know, where, what beliefs or worldviews are, you know, are you stuck on that you want to be open to loosening a little bit?
And I think I just wanted to add one more thing. You're right, Michelle. And this one tool, this idea of reframing, can we actually reframe how we narrate our lives? And any
that
given,
too.
That's kind of what this story that I just read about the farmer said.
Yeah.
How we frame things in any given particular situation actually can affect how resilient we are. And the more that we can reframe it in a maybe, I don't know, maybe, but I'm curious to see what's going to happen, the more resilient we can be and bounce back when difficult things happen in life.
Definitely. I mean, we are the authors of our own stories. So how are you telling the story of your life?
Yeah. How are you narrating your life?
I love it.
Your life in this given moment.
I love it. Thanks, Mom.
I love you, sweetie. And I love all of you. Thank you for being
you.
Here.
Yeah. Thank you so much for listening again this week and being a part of this wonderful community. We're so grateful for all of you. If you haven't and you're not liked and subscribed to the podcast wherever you listen to podcasts, make sure you do so you're always up to date with each new episode. Follow us on social media at Peaceful Barb, at Michelle Maros, at Barb Knows Best Pod to ask us questions, comments, concerns, or request topics for future episodes. If you haven't yet, give us a 5-star rating on iTunes and Spotify and leave us a review. It's really helpful and we're so grateful when you do so. Thank you so much again for listening. Thank you, Mom. And we will chat with you next week because, as we know, Barb knows best. Bye.
Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details. At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.